Thank you, Pastor Heidi, and good morning, church, for another day that the Lord has made as we gather together to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate our life with Him. And it's great to celebrate the Lord. It's great to celebrate our life. But sometimes do you feel just under pressure where things just keep coming at you, and if it's like not one thing, it seems like it's another, and it's just heavy, and it feels like the load is just too hard to bear, too heavy, a big burden as we're going through life. I think we all have felt that way at times. And so what I've been learning to do over the years is to just take a beat, just get away from it, just turn from it and turn to God. Go to the Lord and get His presence. I get His peace. I get refreshed. I get renewed. And I start downloading God's wisdom and His discernment, special knowledge. And, you know, it's amazing. A lot of times I'm looking, okay, what do I do here, Lord? And the Lord would say, well, I just want to see if I had your attention. Don't worry, I got your back. I got it. You don't have to do anything. Really? And other times you may say, no, wait, just hold on. Don't rush in. Mess things up. I'm organizing things. But when the timing's right, if He has something for me to do, He'll tell me what to do. He'll tell me what to say. And then I walk down that path again with God. And it's different now this time because I'm doing it with Him and not trying to lean on my own understanding or go by my own mind, my own power, but I'm doing it with the Lord. And guess what? Things just work out for my good. I see where relationships are brought back together. I see where healing takes place. I see where miracles happen. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. And my story now turns into a testimony, something that I can be grateful for God for His blessings, His goodness, and share with others. And so it's a wonderful thing. We're continuing our series, God Always Wins. And I love to win. The only thing losing is I think I hate to lose more than I love to win. But I love to win. I love to win with God. And God's not a loser. He's a winner. God always wins. And we are studying Numbers and this book of Numbers where we see the Israelis. They win with God. They get rescued. They get delivered. They get saved. They get provided for. They have victory over their enemies. But then also they lose when they turn from God, when they lean on their own understanding and get into their own past, their own ways, and they start being rebellious and they lose over and over again. And this is a big, you know, bird's eye view of what to do, what not to do, how to win, how you'll lose in life. It's a big lesson right here. And so this week we're in the 29th chapter of Numbers, and as you know, we do this every week, week by week, month by month, year by year. We've been doing it for years. And it's great to be able to go through each chapter of the Bible and talk with God and talk with each other and learn what God is teaching us through the Bible and through our everyday life. It's a wonderful thing to do. And so if you want to go there in Numbers chapter 29 and in your Bibles and take a look at this, you know, we've now led where the children of Israel spent over 40 years in the wilderness. They've been learning. They have a new generation now. The old one is gone. They have new leadership. They're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And they're going to take possession of it now and get their property. And this is something that God had promised. This is a fulfillment. His plans and purposes are coming into fruition here. And this was something way back from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now the children are entering in. And as they get ready to do this, God brings them back to worship. That's the first order of business. He did that last week as we studied chapter 28. And now in 29, it's a continuation of it. And so there's three areas that He brings up And if you were just to read this, and it talks about all these offerings and sacrifices and atonements and these festivals and the trumpets blowing, you're like, what does this have to do with my life today? It doesn't even make sense to me. You just may want to skim right through it. But the reality is, if you understand and you listen to the Lord, this chapter is probably one of the strongest blueprints of how to live and be successful in your life as a Christian. And I want to play that out for you. I want you to see it and understand it. It's important for you to learn. And so this chapter starts out first with the Feast of Trumpets. And so this is a feast where God is now getting their attention. He's getting their attention, and he has Israel now to start focusing on him, and that they have these gathering together, and it's an awakening time, a time of preparation for what's coming next. And so they have these offerings and these things that he wants them to do. And so I'm going to play this section for us, and then we'll just continue on to see what God is showing us through each one of these.
Chapter 29. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. One young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also one kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings. According to their ordinance, as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord.
All right, and now the next one, what this leads up to, what it points towards, is that God's got their attention, and now it's the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is one of the most holy times for them, because they have to humble themselves and they come before the Lord and atone for their sin, repentance, cleansing, forgiveness, reconciliation with God. This is what it's all about. And so they do this. They come to the Lord and they have these sacrifices because they're trying to atone for their sin. Let's play it.
On the 10th day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma. One young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also one kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the sin offering for atonement, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings.
All right, and then now the third one is the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they have all of these different feasts that they're doing, so they've got a lot of work going on. So again, it started out with God blew the trumpets, they have the Day of Atonement, now they have these feasts that are going on, and they still have work to do. They still have offerings, they still have a job to get done here, but these feasts are the biggest portion of it. This biggest section is they go through this process here with God. And so let me play it for us.
15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. 13 young bulls, 2 rams and 14 lambs in their first year. They shall be without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for each of the... Chapter 29.
Whoa, I don't know what it did, but my phone just zipped off and now it didn't do the rest of it. But let's go ahead, since you understand it all, it's day after day, week for a whole week, mm-hmm. as they present these to the Lord, all these appointed feasts, and vowed offerings, and free will offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, the drink offerings, the peace offerings, they do it all. And so they do it as God told Moses, and Moses tells the children of Israel everything what to do. And so they do this as God commands them. And so when we look at this, we say, what does this mean for me today? Well, I think, like I said before, it's a blueprint of our life. And so what happens is things come at you in life. You know, it could be you got this bill. You're like, what am I supposed to do with this bill? Or you're standing in line at the grocery store and this lady and she's got kids and there's this big ruckus in front of you and they're taking forever. And you're like, what's going on here? Or maybe you had a friend and you had a fight and an argument in the relationship. You know, or you have a job opportunity. There's all kinds of things throughout the day. Every day there's something that God's drawing our attention to. And I call it like a glitch in the matrix. Something's out of the ordinary. Like you're just going along and then all of a sudden God draws your attention to something, some kind of glitch, some kind of something. And so that's the trumpet blowing. Ba-bang! God's getting your attention. And they would blow these trumpets for them for all kinds of reasons, for warnings, it's time to move, time to go, you know. But the big thing about the trumpet was to get their attention. Oh, you got my attention. Now what are we supposed to do with it? And this is what God does. He gets our attention. Now what are we supposed to do with it? Well, we don't focus on the trumpet. We go and we focus on God. We say, Lord, okay, what are we doing with this? And we get in the Spirit. We get His peace. We get His presence. We get the info that we need. And a lot of times, like I said before, God will tell me, hey, you don't have to do anything. I just want to get your attention. I want to spend some time with you. Okay. But more often than not, I see where God is letting me know what to do, what to say, and to walk through this with Him. And so we don't go to God for atonement because Jesus took care of all that. He was the sacrificial lamb without blemish, once and for all, the sins of the world, past, present, and future. So now, when we go to God, we go to the Father because of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, and we reconnect in our relationship, not for atonement, but for relationship with God, and to be refreshed and renewed in the Spirit. And then as we connect with God, we start downloading the things that we need. You get more out of worship in the Lord than what we give, for sure. And he fills us and refreshes us and renews us and inspires us. He may need to comfort us. He may need to empower us. And he does that through this, not atonement, but through worship, through our time of connecting and reconnecting with God throughout the day. And then finally, as we go through the process with God in dealing with things, then what happens is you see how He works things out. He starts guiding things and organizing things for our good. And so that's like the feasts. And then we start to celebrate and we start to see, grow closer to God and become stronger in our relationship and better example as a Christian. And then we're not freaking out when things are coming at us because we know we have a process. We go to God, we get what we need, and then we walk through it with the Lord. And guess what? Things work out. We get blessed. Our story in life now becomes our testimony. We're grateful for God, for His goodness. We're counting our blessings, and we're sharing them with others. And it's a wonderful way to live, and it's right here. In Numbers 29, if you just break that down, in our everyday life that we get with the Lord. And so, this is how you win. And I know Pastor Heidi has a wonderful story for us on that. What you got there, Pastor Heidi? You got something good for us? I know you do.
I just want to thank God for the wonderful message today. Thank you so much for listening. And so John, he was a fine young man, a nice family, good friends, a Christian. He went to church, and then he started a new job. And it wasn't long after John started that new job that he began to feel pressure. He just felt stressed out, tired. He would let himself get worn down. And he didn't really understand it because he liked the job and he liked the people. Everything seemed fine on the outside. So one Sunday night, John was sitting in church wondering, why, God? Why do I feel this way? I used to have so much energy, so much joy, so much drive, and now I just feel drained. And so after church, one of his buddies walked up to him and said, hey, John, how's it going? John said, it's going all right, I guess. How about you? And his friend smiled and said, man, I feel blessed. And then his friend said, I don't normally see you at Sunday night service. Weren't you usually a Sunday morning guy? John said, yeah, normally I am, but about a month ago, I took this new job, and now I've worked, I've got to work on Sundays. I still want to honor God, though, so I've been coming Sunday nights instead. And his friend said, for me, I just love having the whole day off on Sunday. Come to church, I worship, and, you know, I give my whole day to God with my family, when we eat together. Sometimes I take a nap, but it's just a day to recharge and rest and be with God. And John nodded and said, yeah, I used to do that. And honestly, I really miss it. I've been trying to make Wednesday my day off instead and trying to make Sunday night work, but it just doesn't feel the same. And his friend said, John, maybe you ought to fix that. As John sat there in church, he said, Lord, I made a decision without coming to you first. The opportunity came along and I just jumped at it, forgot to ask you. And I thought I could make it work and I thought I could still go to church on Sunday night and figure the rest out. But Lord, I know you've taught me the importance of rest, the importance of worship, the importance of having a day with you and with whoever you put in my life. And I've been trying to force this thing to work, but it's tearing me up inside. And then he heard God say, you need to go talk to your boss. And John said, what if I lose my job? And then I heard the Lord saying, if you lose it, you lose it. And John said, you're right, Lord, because if I do, I know you're going to make a way for something else. And so on Monday morning, John was driving to work and he asked the Lord, what am I going to say to him? And so now he's bringing God in. And the Lord said, you need to apologize to the man. Let him know that you made a commitment and now you're having a hard time following through with it. And John said, you're right, Lord. So he went to see his boss and he told him, I just want to apologize to you. When I took the job and you said I had to work Sundays, I said, no problem, and I'll work it out. But honestly, it's tearing me up. Sundays are a day that I spend with God and with family, and I go to church, and it's my day of rest. And I've been trying to do it on Wednesdays, but it's just stressing me out. And you know, I love it here. The job, the people are great. I just need to have Sundays off, and I don't mind working on Wednesdays, or I'll work the whole week through if I could just have Sundays off. And to John's surprise, his boss looked at him and said, that's fine. We'll adjust the schedule. I appreciate you coming to me honestly and telling me. John walked out of there amazed. He couldn't believe it. And he said, wow, thank you, Lord. That was favor. And that's how God works in our lives. There's all kinds of things that come at us in life, like pressures, decisions, and life's various issues. But when we learn not to just focus on the issues, And we learn to go to God first, bring Him in, because He's the center of our life. We learn to bring things to Him, and we learn to get our directions from Him. And when we turn away from the issues for a moment or however long we need, and when we get what we need from God, and we can go back and face those things the right way. And sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes it takes courage. Sometimes it takes honesty. Sometimes it takes a lot of faith. But when you walk through life with God instead of without Him, things begin to come together for your good. And your story becomes your testimony. And He loves it when you go and share them with whoever He wants you to. Pastor Ken.
Thank you, Pastor Heidi. And it kind of hits home. You know, as I was listening to you, I was listening to God. And, you know, God always tells us, well, He makes a way where there seems to be no way. But think about that. At first, there seems to be no way, right? So if we're leaning on our own understanding, there's no way. How's this going to work? That's why we have to go to Him so that He can help us and make a way. It first starts with, there seems to be no way. And I get those all the time. And I'm going to encourage you, when things in life, when they seem heavy, they seem hard, they seem like, wow, there's no way. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out and try to do it on your own might, your own power. If you go to the Lord, a lot of times He'll just be like, oh, no, I got it. I just was to see if I could get your attention. Happens to me all the time. And other times, just don't do anything now. You got to wait. Don't rush in. And then when He gives us instructions, you can go for it with God. And it's better because you're going through the process and you're doing it with the Lord. And then you're winning, not losing. And you know, with God, we can win. And this is the lesson, I think, in 29. Jesus says, I got good plans for you. I want you to win. I want you to do well. But you got to learn to come and do it with me, not without me, the Lord says. Thank you, Lord. Will you teach us and help us to remember to turn to you, to take a beat and get away from the issue and come to you to get what we need? Because when we do, things are so much better. And you make a way where there seems to be no way, Lord. You work it all out for our good because we love you and we're walking in life according to your purposes, the Bible says. So we're doing it with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you want to do it with me and that you do have good plans for us. You want us to succeed and not fail. We thank you, Lord. We appreciate it. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And so, if you're listening to this through the podcast, I want to encourage you to talk with God more about it. See what parts are standing out to you. Maybe write some things down between you and God, what He's showing you, what He's letting you feel, what He's saying to you. And then share it with some other Christians in your life. It's important that you do that. If you don't have Christians, call us. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. But it's important to get Christians in your life so that you can read the Bible, talk with God, talk with them about it, join a small group, talk with them, talk with people in your church. It's the greatest way for you to give and receive and grow in the Lord. It's super important for you to be successful as a Christian, is to have that flow of God in your life. And so we're going to take a break as a church, and we're going to have some more music and singing, and we're going to worship God with our tithes and our offerings, and we're going to have some open conversation and talk story, you know, about our testimonies and things that God's been doing in our week with God here in relation to the scripture. And so we'll take a quick break now, and we'll get back together here shortly.